Sportsnet today. Listen on the air, online, on the Sportsnet app, and always on your smart speaker. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Drysdale kicks it to his stick, spins, and center. McDavid shoots and scores. A devastating, heartbreaking loss for the Flames in Game 5. Oilers captain Connor McDavid rips the puck off the goalpost and in. 5 minutes and 3 seconds into sudden death overtime. And for the first time since 2006, the Oilers have advanced to the Western Conference Final. They defeat the Flames 5-4 in overtime in Game 5 and win this best-of-seven second-round series 4-1.
That was the last time that the Calgary Flames played meaningful hockey. And it might be a painful memory for a lot of Flames fans, but tonight we begin anew with a lot of new faces and a lot of new optimism. Welcome to Sportsnet today here on Sportsnet 960. Logan Gordon along with you from our downtown Sportsnet 960 World Control Studios in beautiful Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And it is here. We're ready to go. We're fired up. The Calgary Flames season and home opener goes tonight from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome as they welcome in the reigning Stanley Cup champion, Colorado Avalanche. There's a ton to get to on today's program. We'll chat with Peter Labardius in just moments here to get things going. I wanted to pass this along too on a Thursday. It is Ask Andy. Andy McNamara, our fantasy football guru, going to join me just after 2:30 this afternoon. If you've got fantasy football questions, you can start sending them in to the text line at 960-960. But we do kick off the program like we always do here on Sportsnet today by going down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and welcoming in our Flames insider, the color voice of the Calgary Flames for the Gemini Group. It is Peter Labardius. The Gemini Group knows that your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Good afternoon, Lou, and happy game day to you, pal.
Thank you. Same to you. Yeah, it's a beautiful day here in Calgary. Beautiful day. Not that every day isn't potentially a beautiful day for a good sporting event, but it's lovely. I'm out sitting near the lake in Mahogany, where I now rent for the hockey season, and talking hockey with you. So it's a good afternoon.
Yes, excited for tonight, I imagine.
You know, I really am. Although, as excited as I get about opening night, and it's always fun and it's always different, I think even in the early going, I understand that, you know, this team is going to face some really, really tough opponents to open the season. They're going to do it at home. There's really, really high expectations from outside. There's obviously high expectations from inside. And I'm just really looking forward to seeing if this team gives merit to how I feel about it and how I feel about this group. And while it may not show up in the first 10 or first 20, and maybe it will, I have a lot of confidence in the makeup of this group. And I'm really interested, especially in their first two games. I think it's quite a test early in the year to face Colorado tonight and Edmonton in their place on Saturday.
We touched a bit on that on yesterday's program, but I want to dive into it more because you're right. It is a test for this team right off the start. And it's a test for a lot of people to get their first look at this new group and how things are going to go with Jonathan Huberdeau around, Mackenzie Weegar, Nazem Kadri. The list goes on and on. We've been through them the last couple weeks, Lou, but now we finally get to, you know, put our eyes on it and a really perfect opportunity to see, because this is going to be a different group. I know that expectations might be the same for people or even higher than they were last year, but let's not forget the process of getting there is going to take some time, because this is an entire, I mean, I really can't remember a team having this kind of turnover year to year with contention status staying pretty much the same from everybody. The process might not look the same as it did last year. There's a lot of different faces here.
There are a lot of different faces, Logan, but guess what? At this time last year, there was a lot of different faces too. Now, the unique part of it and the difference is it this year is who those new faces are and what role they might play. But remember, going into last season, there wasn't anybody, including myself, that thought it was going to be a slam dunk for the Calgary Flames to make the playoffs, let alone finish first in their division. Let's be clear and honest about that. So what's different now? There's just about as many new faces. There's certainly new faces with a lot of ability that have changed the complexion of the team. But in a bit of a preview of my first chat of the season with head coach Daryl Sutter, he has a pretty good idea as to the makeup of this group. And it is going to be a different group, including the fact that he doesn't necessarily see this as a team that's going to light the lamp as much as last year's.
Well, doing what we do best, so is check. So that's the key. If you think, you know, if there's any difference in our team from last year, we're not going to score as much. That's clear. We brought in really good two-way players, and it's a left-winger that led the league in assists, but we're not going to score as much. That's being honest. So we're going to have to be really good checkers, and quite honest with Colorado, even though they've made some changes, their defense is better. You know, two of those kids didn't play much last year in terms of on the back end, Girard and Byram, so their defense is better.
So there you have it. It's a more mature group. It's a group that truly, in my estimation, I don't ever remember the Flames having center ice depth the way they do now. They're solid in goal. They've added a very key person on defense. We don't know how it's all going to play out, Logan. And frankly, we might be having a chat on Monday where I'm potentially calming people down because it hasn't gone so well.
Mm-hmm.
But it is about the process and it's how you play. It's about continuing to build on the identity of who and what the Calgary Flames are. And I just happen to think two things. I think the fit between the type of team and players that Daryl really values has more promise. And that doesn't mean more promise in terms of how many goals they're going to score or where they're going to finish in the division. I think the promise is always about, can you take another step? Can you knock on the door again? You knocked on that door last year. Can you continue to grow towards truly building an elite championship caliber team?
Sort of building off of what Daryl said there to you, I thought it was a very interesting comment from the coach. And I saw it put an interesting way on Twitter, and I thought I would throw it your way and see what you thought about it, as I think it pertains pretty well to what Daryl said there. Somebody, when talking about the Flames roster from last year to this year, talked about, would you rather have two guys that score 100 points, or would you rather have five guys that score somewhere between 70 to 80? What's the more difficult team to play against in today's NHL? And their point was, every day of the week, I'm going to take having five or six guys that I can rely on and spread the offense out, because that makes them a harder team to play against. That you've got to match up not just against two guys and shut down two guys. You're going to have to potentially work out, you know, five or six different options on the team. And I thought it's a very simplified way of putting it, and I'm sure the math doesn't exactly work out or translate to what'll be on the ice, but I thought it was an interesting way of looking at it from this Flames perspective.
Well, I'm going to add a different caveat in terms of how I look at things. So I have to build the best team I can with who and what I have to be the best competitor and deal with other teams. So let's start up the highway. The Edmonton Oilers have a couple of incredibly gifted people. And last night that was very much on display again. The Flames don't have Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl. And we found out in the playoffs, in a difficult way, that it is very, very difficult if you don't play your game the way you want to play it and you don't necessarily have the depth to play it. You can't do it their way. You have to do it, Logan, your way. So what I love about how this team is constructed, and let's jump into tonight's matchup. So with Landeskog maybe not playing again, with Nazem Kadri as a member of the Calgary Flames, do the Flames have anyone as explosive as Nathan MacKinnon? No, they don't. But are they going to be a very difficult matchup and have options? Yes. Because look at tonight for an example. You have the ability, I believe, Logan, and offensive zone will dictate, defensive zone will dictate. You don't have to hard match. You have three centers and three lines and maybe even four that you can check their number one group. And it also gives you an advantage matchup-wise down the ledger. So if I don't have some of the superstar power, and Colorado has it in two places. They have the most dynamic defenseman on planet Earth. And as much as the attention with the Avalanche goes on the forward group, and for good reason, Logan, Cale Makar is special. Devin Taves has completely come into his own. And now, and he's just scratching the surface, Bowen Byram might be somewhat close to a left-handed version of Cale Makar on the same back end. And then you round it out with Girard and Johnson. That is one heck of a group of six. So on a night like tonight where, yes, the Flames are different. Yes, they have more depth. You better make sure you're not feeding their transition, and you better stay above in all three zones, because if you don't check that group on defense, you got a problem. But I really, again, Logan, further to how you phrased it, I don't know who said that on Twitter, all day long, I've got to find advantages for my team where we can do it better than some of our key opponents. And this actually takes me back a little. It's different times, different people, different players. And frankly, you know, the Edmonton Oilers up the highway don't have six or seven Hall of Fame types in their lineup. But this does remind me a lot right now of how Calgary in the 80s and early 90s had to go up against Gretzky and company.
We're chatting with Peter Labardius, our Calgary Flames insider here. Flames game day, the first of the regular season, game one of 82 tonight at the Scotiabank Saddledome as they welcome in the Colorado Avalanche for a 7:30 puck drop from the Saddledome. Lou and Derek will have the call for you here on Sportsnet 960. Pat Steinberg and Peter will have your Calgary Flames pregame show just after 6:30 this evening. Lou, one of the guys that has made this Calgary Flames team deeper and more difficult to play against, we hope, is the arrival of Nazem Kadri. It'll be an important game for him tonight, facing off against the team that he won a Stanley Cup with last year. He was a massive part of that team. He was a massive run, of their Stanley Cup playoff run last year. He comes to Calgary with high expectations and gives them a 1-2 and maybe even a 1-2-3 punch down the middle that we haven't seen in quite some time. This is going to be our first opportunity to get a look at him in Flames soaks in the regular season, and he's an intriguing guy. I know hearing from him yesterday, he was excited for this opportunity today to not only get a chance to open things up this season, but a chance to play against his former team.
Just excitement. You know, obviously I've been, you know, skating with these guys for the last few weeks, month now, so gotten to know everyone pretty well, and you know, they've made me feel right at home, so I feel very comfortable. And you know, Daryl's done a great job catching me up and on systems and whatnot, and you know, I can't wait to get started here.
Well, tonight's going to be a different night for him for lots of different reasons. But let's go back to the main thing about Kadri. Logan, not to sound like Mr. Sutter, it's not a hope that he's going to do those things. He's going to do those things. And he was a massive reason, and that added ingredient and element, I think, was a big reason why the Colorado Avalanche got over last year and won the Stanley Cup. And now he's a Flame. And he plays with bite. And I love guys, and I understand he's had to mature, he's had to grow, but this is a guy who grew up in, for me, the second most difficult media market in the country, Toronto. And this guy loves the spotlight. And this guy is a terrific player. And not only will he come out and talk about dragging his team into the battle, he lives for it. And he's got good skill. They're lucky to have him. And now, you know, whether it's tonight or whether it's Saturday night, you don't think he's not looking forward to checking Nathan MacKinnon or going up against him or Connor McDavid?
He lives for that stuff.
He lives for it. And I know why. I think in part that he lives for it, because this is a terrific player who's had to go through some things. He's cut from a bit of a different cloth. There's no question about it. He truly feels that he is amongst the best centermen in the sport. And I think that is what drives him. And he also knows he has an element to his game that other high-end people in the middle don't necessarily have. And as he showed last year, when his intelligence and his great grit, skating, shooting, competitiveness, I think Kirk Muller put it best to me the other day. This guy is a gamer. I can't have enough of those guys, Logan. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the guys that win you titles. Those are the guys when it gets hard. And yes, has it been perfect, the road? Not a bit. Not a bit. Did he do stupid things in the playoffs? Yes, he did. But I'd still rather rein a guy in than having to push him into the battle.
Yeah. No, I think that's really well said. And for me, one of the things that I don't know if he got enough credit for, Lou, but to me, just that growth too in his game, that maturity that's shown up over having a couple of those playoff moments that I'm sure he's not proud of, and he's talked about them. I think there's value in seeing a guy that's smart enough and capable enough to work that out of his game. You know what I mean? To have that playoff last year and to not have any of that stuff come up again and to be there night in, night out for his team. I just thought that was a key moment for me in looking at Nazem Kadri and saying, okay, look, this guy gets it now. He understands his value is being out there every night and every day, and he's going to do what he can, and he's smart enough to fix those errors in his own game.
Part of crossing the line as an emotional, caring person is you're going to go to some places that you're not going to like about yourself and other people aren't going to like. But when you have all those great tools and you have that passion and you have that competitiveness, you're going to cross that line sometimes. And it will probably happen again. But becoming somebody who's not only good, but borderline great is about learning and doing different and doing better than you have before. Where a lot of people fail, and I know I've done it in my career at times too, is you get stubborn and you're not willing to look at it different or do it different or think about it different. And most of the time, Logan, you got to go through some bottom of the barrel crap to get to better places. And that's the journey I think we've seen from Nazem Kadri.
Our first regular season game day of the year, Lou, means our first chance to talk about the Flames opponent, and we got to look at them last night in a pretty convincing win over the Chicago Blackhawks. They raised a banner last night. I thought it was a great moment, too, last night to see them let Jack Johnson come off the Chicago bench and spend some time with them as they look back on their Stanley Cup winning season. It was an interesting offseason for Colorado. Obviously, they lose Nazem Kadri. He's now a member of the Flames. They're going with a different starting goaltender for the season as Darcy Kemper is now in Washington. What do you make of this Colorado group? They've some sneaky good additions. Nichushkin's looked great there. Lehkonen looks like he's fitting in like a glove. But what do you make of Colorado, Lou? What are you looking for them in their title defense season?
You mean the guy that scored the Stanley Cup clinching goal and had seven in the playoffs, Arturi Lehkonen?
Yes, that guy.
Yeah. Okay, he's not going to win you any fantasy hockey pools, but I have noticed he's been pretty good in big games the last 2 years in both Colorado and Montreal. He's a nice add. I think, you know, Evan Rodriguez is a nice add. They are not as deep down the middle as they were because of one of the newest Flames. I love Alex Newhook as a young player, and I think, you know, the sky is going to be the limit for him. But when I think about the Colorado Avalanche, and I pointed it out earlier, Logan, in our chat, is they have the closest thing I've ever seen in the sport to Bobby Orr and Cale Makar. They have his partner. Darryl always talks about minute munchers. You know, those guys play 23, 24 minutes a game. I think the addition of Josh Manson was huge for them last year on the back. It gave him a new lease on life. He's gritty. He's physical. He's nasty, and I think between Samuel Girard missed a lot of time last year, excellent puck mover, Eric Johnson is just as fine a team guy and a solid know-what-you-get-from-him, and now they've got Byram, who I think is about to explode. So it's different, yes, but they're going to be a team that causes nightmares, not just because of MacKinnon and Rantanen and Landeskog and some others. They're going to crush you because they're going to move pucks out of their end quicker than anybody. I think they slot beautifully back there. And in Bowen Byram, the former two-time World Junior member, this guy's just scratching the surface.
Looking forward to it tonight, Lou. Thanks for your time, as always. Do appreciate it. Tomorrow we'll get to break down this one and take a look at Saturday night's first edition of the Battle of Alberta. Have yourself a great afternoon, pal. We'll see you at the rink in a couple hours.
Okay, sounds good. Have a great rest of your afternoon.
There you go. Peter Labardius, our Flames insider, here on Sportsnet today. He joins us courtesy of the Gemini Group. Gemini Group Home Renovations knows your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Yes, it's finally here. The regular season opener tonight for the Calgary Flames. 7:30 puck drop. It'll probably be a little later than 7:30. Player intros, first time of the season, everybody getting excited. But that's when Derek and Lou will be on the air for your first Calgary Flames regular season game of the season. Just after 6:30, pregame starts with Pat and Lou, your Flames Talk pregame show right here on Sportsnet 960, your home of the Calgary Flames.
Back to Sportsnet today on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Yes, Sportsnet Today continues here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Of course, we're focused on the Calgary Flames and the Colorado Avalanche tonight from the Scotiabank Saddledome, but wanted to shift away quickly and get you some help on the fantasy football side of things ahead of Thursday Night Football, kicking off week 6 of the NFL season. And to do that, there's only one man we turn to. It is our fantasy football guru. You know him, you love him. It's our pal, Andy McNamara. Andy, good afternoon, pal. How are you, man?
Logan, doing good, brother. Doing good. Yeah, we. I hope this week's game has at least one touchdown. Can we ask for one touchdown, please? Come on.
It's a lot to ask, but I feel a lot better knowing that the Broncos aren't involved, although we'll get to that on Monday night in another primetime spot.
Yeah, it's true. You know what? This is a real real-life sportsbook line, okay, from DraftKings Sportsbook, Logan, listeners, over 0.5 passing touchdowns from Justin Fields. That's the line. 0.5. So if he throws one pass, you win. Like, unbelievable, just these Thursday night stinkers. I just, man, I hope we're pleasantly surprised, but I don't know.
Of course, whenever we bring on Andy, it means that in a few moments' time, we'll get to ask Andy the questions already coming in on the fan feedback line at 960-960. So keep sending them in. Ask Andy coming up in just a couple of moments. Or you can tweet at me, at Fan960Logan. Andy's available on Twitter, at AndyMC81. And he will, of course, answer your question. Just make sure you're using the hashtag AskAndy if you're asking questions on Twitter. So let's start with tonight's matchup, Andy. The advice that people need ahead of this Thursday nighter. Look, I know we were joking about hopefully getting more than one touchdown, but that line you sent me doesn't give me much faith. Carson Wentz has actually been a pretty decent fantasy option this year, but he's dealing with something, a sprain around his throwing shoulder. What kind of confidence do you have in the offensive output we might see between the Commanders and the Bears tonight?
Well, the good thing with Wentz is there was no injury designation as of today. So it looks like, you know, it's still not 100%, but at least that's been taken off and he shouldn't be restricted. I would lean running backs today, folks. I would lean running backs. I think David Montgomery, possibly even Khalil Herbert in a flex spot. That's always a bit iffy when you're thinking of the backup, but he has been able to show that he can step up before. The interesting part is Antonio Gibson and Brian Robinson. We saw Robinson come back and he was eased in, obviously, right? He was eased in a little bit, but the question becomes, okay, how is that usage going to affect Antonio Gibson long-term? What does it mean for a J.D. McKissic, who's more on the passing side anyway? But I would say let's say this. If you're doing your redraft, your season-long leagues, try to avoid the Washington running backs and go with David Montgomery if you need a start. If you're playing your DraftKings, there's not a lot of options. Like in the captain spot, so here, in the captain spot, honestly, at the 1.5 times fantasy points for 1.5 times the salary cap in the DraftKings showdown between the Bears and the Commanders tonight, I put kicker Cairo Santos. I put the kicker, Logan, because I think this game, these guys cannot finish, and it's going to be a case where you get the Chicago's kicker, and Justin Fields can move the ball a bit, but they're going to be stalled. Santos has been solid, and I think that is one of those contrarian plays where you can then spend up elsewhere on the bigger names, and there's not a lot of them in this game. Cairo Santos, captain spot. Remember if you cash in any money tonight.
As far as the Commanders go, you talked about the running back situation probably being the way to go between this one. It's an interesting one when it comes to the receivers for the Commanders. I know there's probably a lot of Terry McLaurin owners out there that have been disappointed by the output, and even last week, a lot of targets going to another Commanders receiver that goes off. Where are you on a guy like Terry McLaurin and the Commanders situation that he's in right now?
Yeah, look, he had aspirations, and I think we all did, of hopefully leaping to the WR1 conversation with Carson Wentz there, but there was a lot of unknowns, and he's really kind of settled into a middle, unexciting WR2, right? He's just kind of there. No touchdowns. One touchdown in week one. But that's nothing to be excited about and disappointing through 5 weeks. You have Curtis Samuel splitting time. If you have to go between the two, Terry McLaurin is still the better play, the more dynamic talent. But it is going to be split up. You know, now here's the other part. Logan Thomas, the tight end, so for tight end owners, Logan Thomas is out for this game. That may mean that we see a few more targets go to McLaurin and Samuel. But could it go to Gibson? Could it go to Robinson? That's what's so confusing with this Commanders team. So I would still play Terry McLaurin because he's still producing in typically the low teens, averaging out that for your fantasy points. But really,
when you advertise with Google, search ads.
I think it goes to Carson Wentz. When you look at what he's been able to do outside of a couple stinkers, Logan, he's had 3 games where he's been over 20 fantasy points. Last week, 25.9 fantasy points. So I think we have to look at Carson Wentz as a real option tonight against the Bears defense. That's okay, but it doesn't scare anybody.
Ask Andy's coming up in just a couple of moments. The text line already full of questions, Andy, ahead of this Thursday night or tonight between the Bears and the Commanders. So we'll have lots to get to when it comes to Ask Andy. But I have an interesting one for you that's been floated around for a couple of weeks now. The rumors surrounding Christian McCaffrey being traded are starting to heat up with another disappointing start for the Panthers. I don't know what exactly to make of it. I don't know if there's a real world where he gets traded or not. But from a fantasy perspective, Andy, if there was an ideal landing spot for Christian McCaffrey, who would you say it is?
Oh, boy. Okay, so we have to – all right, this is a very interesting question. So what we have to do is think of, okay, draft capital, right? We have to think of, all right, who's got the draft capital? But also, what are you really going to get for Christian McCaffrey? A stud, we know, when he's on. But he's late 20s now, right? He's been injured a couple of years. It's been proven you can go get starting running backs, form a committee, whatever. You don't necessarily need that bell cow. It's great, but do you need to spend top dollar? When we look at a team, if it's for, let's say, you know, sort of this year, all right, are we looking for teams in contention? Well, the Packers don't need anybody. Colts don't need anybody. Vikings don't need anybody. Bengals, no. Saints, no. Ravens, no. You know, you have people there like Buccaneers, Leonard Fournette. You bring in McCaffrey. You got a super strong 1-2 punch there. Are they willing to do that? What about the Rams? That might be somebody now that I'm thinking of it. You know, the Rams, like Cam Akers hasn't done anything. Darrell Henderson, the offense overall is struck. They could really use a jolt. So maybe the Rams make some sense to bring in. That would be something. The Bills, it's pass heavy, so probably not. But the Bills would be, imagine adding McCaffrey to Buffalo. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Unstoppable.
As if they need more talent on that Buffalo offense.
Exactly. It'd be interesting.
Any worry for you about Aaron Rodgers and that apparent thumb injury on his hand?
Boy, man, Aaron Rodgers has not eclipsed 17 fantasy points this year.
No.
Can you believe that?
Tell me about it. I own him in a couple of leagues. I'm not loving it right now.
Me too. Me too, brother. Me too. I know. So that is a concern. But the bigger concern to me is he still hasn't found his guy. Okay, we're entering week 6. We were hoping, you know, first couple of weeks, find your new Davante Adams. Not the same production, but find your guy. Find your go-to. You know, one time it was Romeo Doubs, Randall Cobb the other week. You knew he'd ruin a fantasy week a couple times this year, done it once. You know, was it going to be Christian Watson? It's too spread out. It's kind of like everybody and nobody all at once. So it's definitely a concern. I want to give – here's my strategy with Aaron Rodgers. Personally, and what I'm advising is you don't want to give up on him because he could always finish strong. But we're going to have to start making some tough decisions. The next 2 weeks, really important if he can get back on track. Versus the Jets. Jets defense, like not the pushover maybe we thought, but you still should beat them at home in Lambeau. And then you face Washington. After that, it's Buffalo. So those next 2 weeks, can he crack 20 fantasy points? Can we see him hit 300 passing yards, you know, which he hasn't done this year? If we can see that growth over the next 2 weeks, my confidence will start to build. But we might not. And with that thumb injury, you know, this might be one of those weeks again where you're not afraid to stack an Aaron Jones and an A.J. Dillon.
Okay, we've got enough on the text line. It's been pouring. You can tell fantasy football is heating up because we've got, from the start of it, even from last segment when I was teasing Ask Andy, people have been texting in. So you got a couple minutes left if you want to start throwing some questions in. No guarantee we'll get to all of them, but we'll always try. It's time for our favorite segment of the week. It's time for Ask Andy.
You've got fantasy questions. He has fantasy answers. Helping you week by week in the leagues you love. It's time for Ask Andy on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, Andy, let's get to it. The text line at 960-960. Pedro, my guys, first one in here. He's having a little bit of trouble at the quarterback position in a two-quarterback league. He's got Stafford and Rush right now, but may have the chance to grab Mac Jones or Billy Zappi off of the waiver wire. Need some advice on this.
No Patriot quarterbacks, no Patriot receivers this week. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Don't touch it at all. This game, and I'm going down to Cleveland, I'm leaving tomorrow. This is going to be all running backs. For fantasy for that game, Patriots, Browns, all running backs, and don't touch anybody else. Touch Stevenson for the pass, Chubb and Hunt for the Browns, and that's about it. Absolutely not. So if we're looking outside of, okay, those options that I would not recommend any pass, look at Geno Smith. is Geno Smith there? On Tuesday on my Twitter video at AndyMC81, hashtag AskAndy, I said, Geno Smith, and this is where we're talking, Geno Smith, better fantasy year than Aaron Rodgers. That's the world we're living in right now. Geno Smith, is he still there now? His ownership leapt up over 40% in one day. So he might be gone. But look for a Geno Smith. Look for a Jimmy Garoppolo type of thing. Stay away from the Patriots quarterbacks. Just no.
Bye weeks starting to come into play for a lot of people, Andy. This texter wondering, need to start two running backs and one flex from these options. Montgomery, Mostert, Jeff Wilson, Gabe Davis, and Lazard.
Montgomery for sure. How many did they need? Two?
Two running backs and a flex.
Oh, two running backs and a flex. Okay, so we're going Montgomery for sure. I like Gabe Davis in the flex spot. He's a bit, you know, Gabe Davis, he's a bit of a home run guy, but I think he's done enough where you can have some sort of confidence in him. You know, like he's been good enough to be able to provide that. And who are the other running backs?
We got Jeff Wilson there and Raheem Mostert. Mm.
Jeff Wilson for sure. Wilson's been good.
He looked good last week. Yeah.
Nice steady RB2. Nice steady plug and play. And David Montgomery's probably more high end RB2 than RB1. But you have two pretty solid guys right there. So I think you go, yeah, Montgomery, Wilson, and Davis.
Andy, I'm having a hard time moving Hollywood Brown. I need to improve my tight end position. Is now a good time to buy low on a guy like Kittle?
Like Taysom Hill?
Kittle, excuse me.
Oh, Kittle. Oh, boy, there's always – we know the talent of George Kittle, right? We know the talent of George Kittle if he stays healthy. Can he stay healthy? He hasn't reached double digit. He hasn't passed 8 fantasy points this year. I think you probably might be able to get Kittle maybe for a little bit of a bargain. You know, I would definitely not overpay for him at this point, but with Jimmy Garoppolo getting back into a groove, Kittle's a go-to guy. Injuries always lurk, but – when he goes off, and he might be ready for it, you got Atlanta. KC's going to be a shootout. The Rams' defense hasn't been what it was before the bye. Might be a good time to try to go get George Kittle. Just don't overpay for him.
Andy, Isaiah McKenzie, George Pickens, or Corey Davis?
You know what? I'm digging Corey Davis. It's weird saying anything with the, you know, with the Jets on that side, right? But it's I don't trust Pickens. Yeah, I think Corey Davis. Now, there's the problem is it's going to be Davis or it's going to be Garrett Wilson. And we've seen some nice chemistry with the veteran that you see with still young quarterbacks. Remember, Zach Wilson's still a young QB when he missed time. So you have that, but he has also been developing some chemistry with Garrett Wilson. If we can see Aaron Rodgers air it out a little bit on the road, you should get opportunity for that. It's going to be risky with any of these guys, but I think Corey Davis has the best path to have some success on the road against the Packers.
Trevor is wondering if Brian Robinson Jr. is a must put in his lineup tonight, getting the start against the Bears.
Not a must, no. Here's the thing. We don't know. Like, and Brian Robinson's body probably doesn't know. And the coaches, you're working him in with more reps. This is game two, okay? Like, in a flex spot, it might work. It could. But this is also a Thursday game. So remember, too, so he played his first game back, and now it's also a short week, not even a full week. I would err on the side. It depends who you have to replace. If it's him or some guy who's not going to get any snaps, okay. But this is a short week, second game back. I would try to wait and see if you could circle back in week 7 rather than playing tonight if you have a better option.
Andy, should I look at trading Jonathan Taylor? I'm in a 12-team PPR league. I've lost Javonte Williams. I have Kenneth Walker and Daryl Henderson and literally nothing else.
Oh, and literally nothing else. Well, and I know Jonathan Taylor hasn't produced how we expect Jonathan Taylor to produce. Like, what type of return? Like, it could be based on name value. It could be a juicy return, right? Here's what you have to think of. You're not going to get a better running back than Jonathan Taylor in a trade for this. So are you going to upgrade on wide receiver? Are you going to get just a bunch of pieces that don't have the upside? Jonathan Taylor's also got a bit of an ankle issue. I would dangle the trade. So put it out there to some teams. See what you reply back. Maybe your never hurts to dangle, right? Put the lure in the water and see what comes back. But err on the side of keeping Jonathan Taylor.
Okay, I'll go a little quicker through these ones. We got a ton to try to get to as we're here with Andy McNamara on another edition of Ask Andy here on Sportsnet 960. Andy, DeAndre Hopkins worth starting next week?
Oh, first game back. Boy, oh boy. I hate those games. I really do when they first come back because it's
a coin toss.
It really is. We don't know how, again, is it going to be a pitch count? Is it going to be thrown back in? I would try not to against the New Orleans defense. New Orleans defense is still pretty good. So you probably made it this far without having to use him. Unless you're having bye week, you know, like you said, bye weeks have started. So unless you need him to fill in for a bye week replacement, then sure. But otherwise, I'd like to wait.
Traded Montgomery for Pollard, yay or nay?
No. Montgomery's still the number one. And Herbert's lurking a bit, but Pollard's the backup still. He's still the backup. Montgomery is still getting you mid to high fantasy team points when he's in there healthy.
Chris Olave or Drake London?
Ooh, well, this week Olave is banged up. Actually, that whole Saints offense is hurt. So I'd go Drake London this week. Overall, I really like both of them. I think maybe Olave has a bit of a better immediate upside, but I think just based on health, you go with Drake London.
Half PPR, Mike Williams, Tyler Lockett, or Chris Godwin?
I think you got to go Tyler Lockett. Like, look at the numbers with Geno Smith. Like, Geno Smith, when Geno Smith was announced the quarterback, you think Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, oh, can't, you know, just going to be waves of disappointment. No, Geno Smith has kept those guys not just relevant, but startable and productive.
Yeah.
So I think you go Lockett. It still feels weird to say, but fantasy-wise, I'll go with Geno Smith and Tyler Lockett. You can stack them if you want to.
Andrew's wondering, Devonta Smith or Garrett Wilson this week? Standard scoring.
I like Devonta Smith. I do. He's worked in nicely into that that Eagles offense, and I know Jalen Hurts can run a lot too, and the passing touchdowns might not have been there, but he is really steadied in after A.J. Brown really took a lot of that workload. He's steadied in nicely. That's going to be a fun game versus Dallas. A
couple people asking about Taysom Hill and what to expect from him going forward. I don't know if you're a fortune teller, Andy, but if you can predict what Taysom Hill is going to do going forward, I think you're in the wrong business.
Yes. Or should we hand out tarot cards on a street corner or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. He is the weirdest, most unpredictable player. He only has, he's not passing the ball as a quarterback. He's not catching the ball. He has one catch this year. He's running it a ton. And with all those injuries, this could actually be a very interesting game to play Taysom Hill. Now, he has some rib issues. He was limited in practice, but he is expected to play. I'm not sure where you slot him in as what, but I would try to get Taysom Hill into your lineup, which probably means, Logan, he gets 1 point. Because the one time I did this year, he was a total dud.
A couple more for you before we wrap things up. Andy, buddy, I need your help playing my brother this week, so this is must-win territory. Geno Smith or Justin Herbert? I can't believe I just said that.
No.
And Amari Cooper or Chris Olave?
Okay, well, you know what? Go Cooper because of Olave's injury. I really would recommend avoiding Browns and Patriots wide receivers in this head-to-head. I really would. I don't want to say it. I think it's Geno Smith.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't want to say that. I think we do. I think you look at the matchup. It's against Arizona. Yeah, Geno Smith. Oh, I feel dirty saying it.
A.J. Dillon or Curtis Samuel for a flex spot?
Yeah, these Thursday night games, you know, maybe it's them spooked from last week or just overall they've been kind of duds and it's, you know, low scoring. I think you have to avoid Curtis Samuel, so go the other way.
Boyd or Godwin in flex?
Ooh, give me Tyler Boyd. He's been quiet, but he's always right there. I think I'm going to go Boyd.
Need one flex from these four players to wrap it up, Andy. Drake London, Duvernay, Alec Pierce, or Tevin Coleman?
Love Alec Pierce this week, and here's why. Each week, okay, and this is what you got to look at, not just the points overall, but look at how are things trending. Each week, he's gotten more targets. Each week, his receiving yards has gone up. Okay? Chemistry building with Matt Ryan. He's looking for him now. Go Alec Pierce.
Andy, appreciate the time as always. How was AEW, buddy?
Oh my gosh, dude, it was so good. It was so good. It was the first time my kids were at a live wrestling event. So Chris Jericho is my son's favorite. So he loved Jericho won. And so he was going crazy. My daughter loves the DMD, Dr. Britt Baker. So she was through the roof screaming. It was amazing. It was sold out. It was packed. The audience was hot. Just an amazing time. It was really, really good.
That's good. Glad to hear it, man. Safe travels down to Cleveland. Enjoy the game, pal. Appreciate the time as always. We'll chat with you next week, okay?
Absolutely, buddy. Talk to you later.
Take care. There you go. Andy McNamara, our fantasy football guru. You can find him on Twitter at AndyMC81. If you miss getting your question in today, you can tweet him at Andy. Just make sure you're using the hashtag AskAndy. He'll be sure to hit you up and give you some last-minute fantasy football advice. That'll do it for Sportsnet today. Time to get out of here. Thank you to Peter Labardius and Andy McNamara for joining us. Shout out to our technical producers, Taylor and Cam, this afternoon. Really appreciate their help. And thank you to you for listening. Keep it tuned here on Sportsnet 960. Hockey PDO Cast is coming up next. Flames Talk with Pat starts at 4, leading you right into Flames warm-up tonight. Game 1 of 82. The regular season is finally here. Flames and Avalanche right here on your home of the Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.